In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we know that Christmas is a time of giving, isn't it? There was a group of local organizations that got together one year in a particular town, and they began evaluating all the people that they thought were movers and shakers in their town to see if any of them had given to not-for-profit organizations. And as they were going through their different lists of givers, they narrowed it down and they realized that there was one person they figured from their town could be a big giver, but he wasn't. He was the president of the biggest bank in that town. And so they kind of got up their courage, and one of the people from one of the organizations called up the bank president and said, you know, we've been going over our records and we've discovered that of all of the people of means in our community who we think could be giving to our organization, or one of the other organizations in town, you're the only one who doesn't do that. And then he waited for a moment on the phone, and then he replied by saying, well, did you know that my mother was a single mom and she had to raise us by herself? My mother struggled with poverty for many, many years. And the person on the other line said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know about that. And he said, did you know that my brother has been disabled for a long, long time and he hasn't been able to hold down a job? Did you know that? And the person on the other line was getting very, very embarrassed and said, no, I had no idea. And then finally he said, well, did you know that my sister had a business and she was building that business with her husband and then the business went bankrupt? Did you know that my family's gone through these great financial struggles? And the person said, well, no, we didn't know that. I'm sorry for saying anything. He said, yeah, that's right. If I didn't give them anything, I'm surely not giving you anything. When we think about this time of year, we do think about giving. And the reason why we think about giving is because God gave to us his son, Jesus. And this is really the fact that we celebrate, that we were lost, the Bible says. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And God saw our condition, his wrath was upon us, and there was only one way that God's wrath could be removed, and that was through the gift of his son. In this story we're following, we've been looking at it over the last few weeks. It's one that Madison read a little bit earlier. It's about the journey of the Magi. The Magi were in Babylon, most likely. According to some scholars, many believe that they probably worked in the court of some eastern king. And they saw something spectacular across the sky that signaled to them that a king had been born in Israel. A king of Israel, but not only that, but the king really of the universe. And so they went on this journey, a 550-mile journey. Probably took somewhere in the neighborhood of 28 to 35 days. They would have gone as quickly as they could have walked their camels from where their homeland was to the place of Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem. And in this story, we notice that they had interacted with people like King Herod and others, and all Jerusalem was astir as a result of what they came to tell about this story that they had seen written again across the skies. Something had happened, to draw them. When we think about things with drawing power, sometimes our minds might go to something like a magnet. Something was drawing them like a magnet to Bethlehem. Since ancient Chinese civilizations, we have learned the value of magnets. The development of the compass. We think about the MRI machine. Scientists have used magnets for a long, long time. Perhaps you've taken apart a speaker and you'll notice that there are magnets inside of speakers, and magnets help with the projection of sound, and they also help with recording sound. We think about how scientists have used magnets, but in the text we notice that there's a different kind of magnet at work. This is a spiritual magnet. And the magnet that we're talking about is this little baby beckoning them to come, beckoning the nations to come, beckoning people to come. It's interesting that this magnet still pulls people today. Yesterday, I had the opportunity of just running into someone in a store, someone I didn't know. We struck up a conversation about Christmas. And this person told me, has said, I'm not a Christian, but the teachings of Jesus compel me. You see, Jesus is still drawing people to himself today, drawing us like a magnet. In fact, as we look at this section, the story together, the Magi, what we can see from it is that all history is moving toward Christ and his total dominion over heaven and earth. All history is moving toward Jesus Christ and his dominion over heaven and earth. In fact, we get in this story a picture of faith, the story of the Magi. And the Bible defines faith this way. It says this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Ever hear that saying that the teenagers used to use a few years ago, epic fail? I don't know if they use that phrase anymore. That was an epic fail. Anybody remember that besides me? Wasn't that long ago? Remember when Faith and I were working with a youth group, all the students would talk about how this was an epic fail and that was an epic fail. We look at this story together. We're venturing on this journey with these men who were putting their necks out for what could have been an epic fail, aren't we? Here's a story about these men journeying again all the way to Jerusalem and finally getting to Jerusalem. They have this meeting with the king, King Herod, and finally they make their way into Bethlehem. And as they're there, they see the star, and the star is pointing to a particular house. And it says that when they saw the star pointing at that particular house, they were filled with extreme joy. They're rejoicing there. And you can imagine what a sight this must have looked like with the Magi there. And then they approach the house, and you can imagine the trepidation, right? Here they are, people from another land, another culture, another place, coming after dark and knocking on that door. And you can imagine their thoughts. What if we knock on this door, and on the other side of the door isn't a baby, but it's someone else? 550 miles. These were men of education. These were men of means. These were men of authority. These were men who were representing probably their own royalty, their own king from their own homeland. These were men who gathered an audience from the king of the Jews. And so we imagine their situation, their trepidation, as they looked into that house as the door was open, that there was a sense within them, their heart was probably beating out of their chest. What if there wasn't a baby there? Can you imagine? Sometimes when we think about our faith, we might think about it in those terms. You see, we come together and we celebrate the birth of a child. The birth of one who grew up, who went to a cross, who died for the sins of the world, who was punished for our iniquity, who was beaten for our transgressions, who died to save us from our sins. This is what we believe. In this story, we imagine Joseph going to the door, and I imagine Joseph is the one who would have opened the door. Imagine what they would have looked at as Joseph opened the door, and first they see this young man. They say, well, that's hopeful. And he looks at them. Imagine what he must have been thinking. Where do these guys come from? He opens the door, and you can imagine the Magi peering in, looking. And then they see their heart's desire. They see that that little baby in the arms of his mother. And they experience this pure joy of being in the presence of Jesus, being in the presence of the King of the universe, being in the presence of deity. Here they are in the presence of Jesus, and it tells us in the text that they worship, they bow down before him and they worship him. They go on their faces before him and they cry out before this little baby, giving him the praise and honor and adoration that he deserves. You can imagine as we think about the Nicene Creed, as it says, as they were peering at this little child, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. Can you imagine what that must have been like when they realized, after seeing that star in the heavens so many months before, making that journey, finding their way to Jerusalem, and then seeing the star reappear as it led them to Bethlehem, as it led them to the house, and then they knocked on the door, and then they saw the little baby. I believe that in many ways our walk in Christ is like that. Many of you may have been attracted to Jesus. And the Bible tells us that when we have that sense of attraction to Jesus, God calls us by faith to trust in him, to believe that he is our only Redeemer, our only Savior, the only one who can wash away our sins, the only one whose merit can satisfy our debt. And then we begin that journey, that walk through this life. And I tell you, one day as we go through this walk of life, if the Lord doesn't return first, there will come a day where we too will find ourselves peering through a door like that. But that may be the day in which we close our eyes in this life. And here's the wonder of it all. Here's the great gift of it all. That when you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you turn from your self-willed life, and when I turn from my self-willed life, and I turn and I trust him as my Lord and my Savior, and you trust him as your Lord and your Savior, and you begin that journey like the Magi began that journey, and as you walk down that road, and as you reach life's end, and you close your eyes in this life, guess what's going to happen? That you're going to open up your eyes in the kingdom. And it's going to be like those Magi peering through that door. And when they peered through that door, all they wanted to see was Christ. And when you close your eyes in this life and you open them up in the life to come, all you're going to want to see is Christ. And when you have your trust in him and your faith in him, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see Christ. You see, it begins with faith, and it ends with joy. And God calls us to enter that journey, to seek after him, to turn to him in faith, to repent from our sin, to believe on him, to trust that he paid for our sin on the cross and that he is risen from the dead. And his promise to us is that when we place our trust in him, he will raise us too with him someday. Do you know this Savior? Have you experienced his grace? Oh, that's the ultimate gift that we celebrate at Christmas. If you haven't, I'd like you to pray with me. Let's pray.